Good morning and welcome. Talk about being exercised. I was listening to, of all things, some unmentionable cable network this morning. And they were whining and complaining because some of the senators apparently are not sitting down and listening to the impeachment presentation. I'm serious. They were upset about this. We'll talk about this, among other subjects connected to impeachment, during the course of the broadcast today. But that's not where we want to begin, because there are people living lives outside of Washington, D.C., whose lives are of much greater value than the nonsense being discussed right now. Non-stop. And I do mean it is non-stop. How many of you are already sick of this and ready for it to be over? Yeah, I get it, Jay. And pretty much everybody I've run into, and even these folks who are in a place where they'd like to see the president gone, they're kind of tired of this too. But I want to begin here. The foundation, the very foundation of our constitutional system, what does it depend on? Well, it depends on a respect for life. I was quite encouraged to see the president has announced he's going to attend the March for Life rally that takes place tomorrow. He'll become the first president in history to join this annual event protesting abortion. In fact, the president will speak to the thousands of marchers who will gather on the National Mall for the event. Gene Mancini, president of March for Life, saying, "We're so excited for him to experience in person how passionate our marchers are about life and protecting the unborn." Mancini called Trump and his administration consistent champions of the March for Life, citing his appointment of conservative judges and federal workers, efforts to cut taxpayer funding for abortions, and his calls for an end to late-term abortions. This announcement was made, where else? On Twitter. It was basically this: "See you on Friday." Big crowd. This is year number 47 of the March for Life event. It's held around the anniversary of the fateful 1973 Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade that legalized abortion. Now, in the past couple of years, the president's addressed this crowd by satellite. Former President George W. Bush also spoke remotely to the marchers by satellite from his office. But again, Donald Trump announcing he will become the first president in history to actually attend the March for Life rally. And this is something of great consequence. What else is happening in the real world? Well, people who decide they're not just going to sit on the sidelines, they're going to get involved and make a difference. A couple did that very thing. Who knows? Who knows the impact of their monumental decision? This story begins with Charlotte Mosia. She was kidnapped on Wednesday. She was actually fighting her abductor as she was forced into a blue Honda Civic. But that was not the end of the story. There was a couple there that spotted the car and helped to lead police to the suspect and to Charlotte. As a result, in custody is Miguel Rodriguez, connected to the abduction of the little girl. He's been arrested, and he has a criminal history. Amanda Disley, her husband, Benny Correa, they were just picking up dinner. There were reports spreading at the time of the abduction. They were at a stop sign when they spotted the car. In fact, Correa said this: "Hey, that's the car. That's the car. I've seen that car. You showed me that car." To make sure they were not mistaken. Disley quickly pulled up a picture of the suspected car that she saw on Facebook. That's when they took a right and started to follow. The car was dark. At least a 5% tint. Correa said, "When I saw this car, I knew it was the car. Pulled up against it, and I flashed my high beams. And the guy pulls up his hood and covers his face and started to dart up the street. I darted right behind him." Wow. You talk about courageous. This guy wasn't playing around. In fact, they shot video along the way, following behind this guy while they were on the phone with 911. The wife goes on, "My husband reversed on the main road. He jumped over a curb. That's when the high beams flashed right into his driver. I saw his complete face. He threw the hood back over his face, and I saw someone in the back seat pushing someone down. That's when he noticed. We were really chasing him all the way down the side streets. He just started blowing through every single red light." She said her husband blew through those lights as well. They did not give up, refused to let this suspect get away. They never expected to be in their position. They were thinking about their own 5 kids in the car. But they knew that in the car they were chasing, the consequences could be life or death for another child. "I felt relieved we didn't chase the wrong person. Felt relieved my husband stepped up. We got the plates because the plates led to them finding them on the highway because there was no notice of any plates." They have praised police as well for their response, because as they were chasing the suspect, they ran out of gas. Their car also took a beating. You talk about having skin in the game, putting your own life, your own car, your own family on the line. This is what I'm talking about. She goes on, "We blew our suspension, our tire. I hit some dirt. I was afraid, almost killed us all. I jumped in front of cars, blew through red lights. I wasn't even thinking about that. But I did play it safe. Looked both ways before I crossed the street. Made sure there were no cars coming before I ate the red. And I was on him." This is what the husband said. Hours later, still trying to process what they had just been through. It was all about one thing. A child's life at stake. And Disley ended by saying, "It takes a village." We'll finish with her remaining comments. Stay with us. This is what happens when people take responsibility and decide, we're not going to put up with victimizing kids. And if it takes us putting our lives on the line, we are going to do it. And, you know, I could look at this and some might look and say, you know what? You got kids in the car. You're going to go do something like this. I think there's a valuable lesson in there for those children, too. That would be a great conversation. This is part of our value system as a family. When someone's in trouble, we put everything on the line to help. Someone who is completely powerless. We put it all on the line. Great story. Wonderful story. If you'd like to share any thoughts during the course of the broadcast today, as always, a special number just for this program, our Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-928-1110. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Let us check out some impeachment headlines. By the way, CNN is reporting, this is really so important, that senators are apparently being, quote, lobbied right now, as in GOP senators, to reject the idea of witnesses. This really troubles the folks at CNN. They desperately want to help bolster the case of the impeachment managers. It's so important to them. They are personally invested. That's what you have to understand here. This is not just a news story. There's a personal investment. Some of the Drudge impeachment headlines. Senators suffer digital detox as they hear the case. Just to interject here, I want you to think about it. Now, I know these folks have a responsibility to listen to this case, and they have to take part in the deliberations. I get that. Having said that, you know, we have the luxury of being able to turn this crap off. We can change the channel. We can do other things. We can have conversations with people. We can turn on music. These senators, they're required to sit on their rear ends and listen to this crap hour after hour after hour after hour. See, I'd probably have an outburst. I would be one of those people. I'd probably have to be carried out because it would reach a point where I would just stand up and say, you know, Mr. Schiff, you are full of crap. Can we have this man taken out? I don't know about all of you, but I'm bored. I'm bored listening to this nonsense. Are you done presenting your case? I mean, think about it. Adam Schiff talking for 2 hours plus? I mean, talk about...
That's cruel and unusual punishment.
It is! Oh, you know, I've got the perfect solution. Have him go down and deliver lectures at Guantanamo Bay. I don't know. The folks might complain about Geneva Convention violations then. But I'm serious. This is awful. It really is. And seriously, I was listening this morning. CNN, they did a commentary. They were complaining that some of the senators were not sitting down. They were up walking around and doing other things. I got news for you. I do the same thing. I mean, one example, when I have been in churches, you know, especially where the services go on and on and on forever, I will get up and walk around just to stay awake. Would you rather have me sit and snore? I mean, I can do that too. Or would you rather have me have an outburst? Again, I can certainly do that. And that would not be a pleasant sight. See, I'm confessing here. I'm kind of a troublemaker. Did I tell you the story a couple of weeks ago when I was trying to make a purchase at a store out of town? Did I tell that story on the air?
On the debit card thing?
No. This was the story of the one checkout in the store with 20 people in line.
Oh,
did I tell that story?
No, I don't think so.
Well, let me tell that story now because I think it ties in here. See, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I'm one of those people, I would call myself a reluctant leader. I don't like leading, but so many times I find myself being pushed into leadership. And so I step out and I say something or I do something. Case in point, I was sure that I told this story, maybe not. So a couple of weeks ago, I was on one of my notorious day trips. I think this was in Baton Rouge. You're sure I didn't tell this story?
I don't remember this story.
So I went into a store that will remain nameless to protect the guilty. And while there, I saw this really nice jacket. I thought, wow, I love this jacket. So I was torn because I had to catch a flight to come back, and I saw what the line looked like. There must have been 15, 20 people in line. And at the time, there were 3 checkouts, okay? And they were slow as Christmas. I don't know. I'll just tell you, it was a clothing store. You ever notice how slow these clothing stores are? And then there are the people who talk forever, and they interrupt the cashier, and some people can't listen and scan things at the same time. I know I'm terrible. I know immediately people are, you're just so darn impatient. But anyway, so I get in this line because I really like this jacket. I wanted this jacket. It's like, I'm going to take this with me. So I'm standing in line. I must have been there 10, 15 minutes. The line's barely moving. By the time I got there, the cashiers went from three cashiers to two cashiers down to one cashier. And another one was back there just doing busy work. And I'm like, what is going on here? Finally, I spoke up and I said, ma'am, the one cashier was there. Is your manager here? And she seemed rather annoyed that I dared to interrupt her. And she said, I'm sorry, there's no manager here available right now. I said, you know, this is really terrible customer service. Somebody needs to be responsible for what is going on in the store right now. And you know, people in that line started cheering me. I'm serious. They were so glad somebody spoke up. And this woman, actually, she had an attitude the way she talked to me. And so, I mean, I wasn't going to go into all of it. I said, ma'am, I've got a plane to catch. I'm leaving. But I will be reaching out to your corporate headquarters to let them know how awful the customer service is at this store. This is part of what I'm talking. We have got to stand up. I don't care where it is, politics, commerce, and not let people screw us like this. You know? By the way, there's a happy ending to the story about the jacket that I desperately wanted. In fact, I was actually going to call that store and reach the manager and tell that story. And see if she would send the darn jacket if I would pay for it. But you know what happened? This past weekend, I was in West Palm Beach. And I saw another jacket that I liked even better. So now when I call these people, I'm going to tell them, you have lost business.
You got to hit them in the wallet.
I couldn't resist. Yes, that's where you got to hit them. Otherwise, they don't care. And I still wonder whether they care even after that, you know. You know, it's, by the way, another comical story that just hit me a couple of days ago when I mentioned being in West Palm on Saturday. On the way back, and this is the second time when I was coming back from there, as we're taking off, I looked down. What do you think I saw to the side of the runway? Air Force One. Ooh. And it explained something as I was driving around the city. On Saturday, I came across this area, very, very ritzy area, where there was a lot of police patrols. I'm like, what's going on down here? And it dawned on me later on, I must have been near Mar-a-Lago. I don't know why that took until the evening to hit me.
You were still thinking about that jacket.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was, but it was just kind of comical. On the text line. Why don't we as a people demand the Republican Party, independent, libertarian, focus solely on dismantling the Democrat Party and the mainstream media? In other words, for starters, we should have demanded Mitch McConnell have a vote to dismiss the impeachment case. It should have been DOA when it arrived. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine how thermonuclear that would have been? Hey, I wouldn't have complained. Not at all. Not in the least bit. Veronica writes in, Shifty looks like he's constipated and just needs a good X-lax session. I knew you would like that one, John. This texter says, Vince, you can't just pretend you're in love with Donald Trump now. We all remember how you sung the false neocon narrative for so long. Wait. Yeah, right. Vince, if you sent Adam Schiff to Guantanamo Bay, the prisoners would be begging for waterboarding. Isn't that the truth? What else do we have here? And I knew someone was going to raise this point about the story we shared at the beginning about the couple that chased down the kidnapper. Watch out for the police. They will say we don't recommend taking the law into your own hands, even when it's good judgment to do so. Yeah, you've got to be very cautious and careful, but there's a point where, again, it's a judgment call. It really is. On the CNN story, they just need something to say. Yeah. That, when you're doing nonstop, how do we get rid of Donald Trump coverage? You got to fill it with something. Something. Vince, you're killing me. Well, I'm glad to entertain. Another person adding my talk about leadership. I have to throw this in. Vince, we need to dump political correctness. Absolutely. Another person has a correction about Guantanamo Bay. Sending Adam Schiffless to Guantanamo Bay to make speeches would definitely be cruel and unusual treatment. The inmates all would Epstein themselves. But remember, he did not kill himself. Just thought I would insert that. What else do we have here? I don't believe a word you say. I know how you really feel, you Trump hater. This is hilarious. Just hilarious. And this one, dude, you have to stop shopping at Goodwill. Hey, they've actually got some good stuff. I know people who go there all the time to shop. And they aren't poor either. Seriously. Just a sampling of some of the items here on the text line. Oh, and this. I helped to chase down some felony shoplifters in the Hendersonville area. I was on the phone with 911. When the first deputy arrived, the people had crashed and run into the woods. I said, it's time for me to leave now. He said, heck no. Come on, let's go get them. That is too cool. Talk about a rush, huh? You imagine the rush you would feel in that kind of circumstance. And you know, that's kind of a low danger sort of situation, just dealing with shoplifters. Kind of cool. Let's talk about impeachment. And I'm serious. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We really aren't. USA Today put together a compilation of some of the highlights. And I'm serious. I'm thinking to myself, if this is a sampling of the highlights, I cannot imagine what it must have been like to sit and listen to this BS hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. And this is going to go on for days. Any case, here is their compilation.
Nothing could be more dangerous to a democracy than a commander-in-chief who believed that he could operate with impunity, free from accountability. Nothing, that is, except a Congress that is willing to let it be so. But Mulvaney didn't just admit that the president withheld the crucial aid appropriated by Congress to apply pressure on Ukraine to do the president's political dirty work. He also said that we should just get over it. Let's watch.
But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happened as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy. If you read the news reports and you believe them, what did McKinney say yesterday? Well, McKinney said yesterday that he was really upset with the political influence in foreign policy. That was one of the reasons he was so upset about this. And I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy.
Would you like me to read that to you right now? I would like to read it to you right now. Except I don't have it, because the State Department wouldn't provide it. But if you'd like me to read it to you, we can do something about that. We can insist on getting that from the State Department. If you'd like to know what John Bolton had in mind when he thought that Zelensky could favorably impress the president in Warsaw, we can find that out too, just for the asking, and a document called a subpoena. Morrison confirmed that he did talk to the lawyers, in part to ensure there was a record of what Ambassador Sondland was doing. That record exists within the White House. Would you like me to read you that record? I'd be happy to read you that record. It's there for your asking. In any courtroom in America holding a fair trial, you would want to see contemporaneous notes. This Senate should be no different.
Is he done? Oh, my goodness. This is painful. This is really painful. This all you? It's all you've got? Just droning on and on and on and on and on. Oh, dear God, help us. Coming up, Joe Biden has a message for the media about this impeachment trial and one of the related issues. We'll talk about it coming up. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, let's talk about Joe Biden. These folks really have a whole lot of nerve, a lot of nerve. Where do you begin with this one? You know, and there's a really strong sense of entitlement that really accompanies so many of these Democrats. Strong sense of entitlement. The Blaze has this story. Joe Biden's presidential campaign issued a warning to reporters and editors in a circulated memorandum demanding they debunk claims of corruption against him. It's their responsibility to do that. You didn't know that, did you? The memo, the title of this memo is The Imperative for Honest Coverage of Trump's Ukraine Conspiracy Theory. It dealt specifically with the charge that then-Vice President Biden, as the Obama administration's point man in Ukraine, pushed for a Ukrainian prosecutor to be fired by threatening to withhold aid to the country. You probably remember this. The fired prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, was reportedly removed the same time he was investigating Burisma, the Ukrainian gas company where Biden's son Hunter sat on the board. It is malpractice not to debunk the claims. According to the Biden campaign, President Trump's impeachment was due in large part to his efforts to spread this theory. Trump's objective was to pressure the Ukrainian government into spreading a malicious and conclusively debunked conspiracy theory that Vice President Biden engaged in wrongdoing when he executed official United States policy to remove a corrupt prosecutor from office. Oh, that's all it was. Oh, we feel so much better now. In this memo, Kate Bedingfield cites numerous mainstream news outlets that agree with Biden's version of the story and that discredit the theory that Biden pushed for the firing of the prosecutor to cover up corruption. News stories. So in other words, not primary sources. I mean, think about this. The man was a freaking vice president of the United States, and all he can do is cite news stories? Don't you have official memoranda or anything like that? No, we have stories from the mainstream news media to bolster the argument. Oh my goodness. This goes on. She goes on to instruct the media to state clearly and unambiguously that such claims of corruption have been discredited and debunked during their ongoing impeachment coverage. To do otherwise would be journalistic malpractice, she warns. It is not sufficient to say the allegations are unsubstantiated or that no evidence has emerged to support them. Not only is there no evidence for Republicans' main argument against the vice president, there's a mountain of evidence that actively debunks it and is malpractice to ignore that truth. You know what? I'm done with the story. This woman who wrote this memo, well, we know why she wrote the memo. I mean, she's paid to write the memo for the campaign. The sad thing is the media probably takes this and, oh, these were our marching orders. It's really sad. By the way, it reminds me of something we didn't get to yesterday. Apparently, Joe Biden thinks it's inappropriate for illegal alien drunk driving suspects who kill people to be deported. Seriously. So much so, he thinks, in fact, he stated this, that if he is president, people who do this, who take part in these deportations over drunk driving arrests, will be fired. Don't listen to me. Listen to Mr. Biden himself.
They go off to school wondering whether when mom comes and picks them up, is she not going to be there because an ICE agent was there to arrest her? What's the culture by saying you're going to get fired? You're fired if, in fact, you do that. You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
My goodness. Has this guy lost his mind? Well, he has, according to a man who was the acting director of ICE. His name is Tom Holman. Here was his response to the former vice president.
Well, look, I think Joe Biden's lost his mind. I mean, he was in Congress for decades. He knows how this works. I mean, there's no prerequisite. You got to commit any crime to be removed from the United States if you're here illegally. That's the way the law is written in statute. If he doesn't like what ICE is doing, then he can change the law. But you cannot fire a law enforcement officer to enforcing the law that he's taking an oath to enforce, laws that were enacted by Congress. It's a ridiculous statement.
It sure is. So Mr. Holman was asked, why in the world would Joe Biden do something so stupid?
I have no idea, because look, when he was vice president and I ran enforcement move operations, a national program at ICE, I oversaw removal of 1 million illegal aliens. Over 100,000 of them were DUI convictions, and many didn't have any convictions at all. They were just here illegally. So his tune has totally changed. We didn't hear a peep from him back when he was vice president on this issue, but the bottom line is, law enforcement officers are going to force laws to take an oath to enforce. The laws are clear. And we're going to arrest and remove illegal aliens, whether they have a conviction or not. Mm-hmm. If they've had the due process, an immigration judge said they got to leave, they're going to be arrested and leave. What other law enforcement agency ignores a judge's order? None. And neither is ICE.
And what are the consequences of this? Well, there's so many DWI deaths. Deaths associated with illegal immigrants. Listen to this.
Yeah, so look, over 10,000 a year, this is a huge public safety threat. Whether it's a misdemeanor or felony, it is a public safety threat, and over 10,000 lives a year are lost. So again, ICE is going to enforce this law. If he doesn't like it, he becomes...